We thank you, Lord, that it is your breath in our lungs. Because by ourselves, we haven't got what it takes. We feel helpless and we feel empty. And Lord, we come to you just as we are this morning with our needs and our questions. And we ask that you would fill our lives afresh with your breath. Lord, that you would renew, that you would revitalize, that you would create a glimmer of hope in each of our circumstances, so that as we look to you, we'll discover that you are the source of our life. You are the source of our life. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, good morning, church, and welcome. Please take your seats. Thank you, team, for leading us this morning. A number of years ago, I was with my daughter Charlotte in Bolivia, 5,500 meters above sea level. And if you've ever been at that level, and I used to live in South America, so I knew what to expect. The oxygen level is really low. I experienced it recently in Colombia, and 30% less oxygen. But at 5,500 meters, you're really gasping for it. You know, you don't get in a hurry. And I was feeling in a moment of great weakness over a number of days. And one day I just started singing that song. I said, God, it's your breath in my lungs. It's your breath. You're the one who gives me life and strength. And at the time it seems difficult, but when you look back, you're reminded that it's God's life in us that gives us hope and that gives us a reason and keeps us going forward. Do you believe that? Amen. Well, welcome this morning. We are in week two of this month's theme, which is the giver of life. I want to take a passage from the Old Testament, because what I want to talk about today is this: if we believe that it's his breath in our life, then he can bring life out of the dry bones that we go through and the experiences that we have. As we approach Christmas, how many of you are already wrapping? I put up a Christmas tree this week. I decorated it. I promised my wife, and she came home one day and said, "Well, yeah, well, that looks systematic," and I thought that was about as good as I got. All the decorations. But we're reminded, the Bible says, you know, if we want to live life to the max, which has been our theme this year, that the Bible says that God has given us eternal life. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He is the giver of life. He is our hope. I want us to go back a few years before the time of Jesus, because I'm sure that we'll hear the gospel, the Advent story a few times over the next few weeks. Back to a passage in Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Some of you may be familiar with this passage. The reading will go for just a little bit longer than normal, but that's all right. Hang in there and listen. Listen to what the Word of God says to you. Ezekiel says, "The Lord took me, and I was carried away by the Spirit to a Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground, and they were completely dried out. Then he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones become living people again?' O sovereign Lord,' I cried, 'you've got to be kidding.' 'A sovereign Lord,' I replied, 'you know, you alone know the answer to this question.' Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again.'" You were singing that a minute ago. "I will make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you'll come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I spoke this message just as he told me. And suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all around the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscle and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bones. But still they had no breath. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again.' So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies, and they all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They're saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done what I said. How many of you believe today that that there is only one source of life? There's only one source of eternal life. And we talk about the giver of life. The giver of life is our God whom we love and worship. He's the one who's given us life. I read a little while back a university in Philadelphia conducted an experiment, and they decided to create salt water, seawater, as though we needed more. And at the end of their experiment, they drafted a press release, and they're about to go to Scientific American and all the other journals to say, we have duplicated seawater. And someone at the back, maybe the janitor, says, well, why don't you just test it out one last time, put some fish in it. And guess what happened? They all died. It looked like seawater. It smelt and tasted like seawater, but it wasn't the real thing. You can't manufacture life. You can't fake it. The reality is that, as we know, the death is all around us. And some of us have lost loved ones this year. Some of us have seen hope die. Some of us have seen our great resolutions fail to materialize. Some of us started out with what we thought were really promising relationships. Some of you guys and girls know about this, and they went nowhere. So how do we find hope? How do we find life? How do we find renewal when it seems that all around us, all we see is a tragedy and disappointments, and we set ourselves up for disappointment all over again? And the only way that we can do it today is Christians, and we alone have this key. As Christians, we can connect to the giver of life, our God, our Father, our Savior, our Holy Spirit, who gives us the strength and the hope and the future to live for him. Not just as some dry, dogmatic, doctrinal statement, but a real experience, an experience of substance and relationship, because that's what faith is all about. Faith in God is not just wishful thinking. Faith for God is not just repeating some creed. It's living in the life of the Holy Spirit and believing that the Spirit comes to give us life. The Spirit comes to fill our lives with his life and cause us to live again. Some of us need to experience that today. Now, a little bit of background. It's always good to have background when we pluck verses from the Old Testament. Ezekiel was a priest of ancient Judah, and when the Babylonians came under Nebuchadnezzar, he was taken away with all the others into exile. He was only 25, about the age of you and me. When he saw the great nation of Judah die and he saw them taken away into captivity, along with their hopes and their pride and their traditions, the walls of the cities were torn down. Families were violently uprooted from their homes and marched across the desert into a land of captivity that they did not know. After years and years of warnings from the prophets, this privileged people of God, having turned their backs on God, having continued to break his covenants. In fact, at the end of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, we're reminded, he says, ever since you came out of Egypt, you've been living in rebellion. There's never been a time in the history of the nation that you haven't been living in rebellion. But time and time again, God had extended his mercy and his patience and his forgiveness. And we can picture the prophets whom God sent, like the prophet Nehemiah, who stands and looks over the nation and is there right until the end. He wept. He was called the weeping prophet. He wept because he said, God's judgment is coming. You've got to turn from your sin. You've got to turn from your rebellion and your wickedness and your idolatry and turn back to God. And they laughed at him and they mocked him. And finally, God's patience ran out and the nation fell and their homes were leveled and the temple was destroyed. I remember a few years ago, Anita and I and the kids went to the north of Lebanon where we were living. And there up on a wall, with plaques relating to the First World War and the Second World War and ancient history, there was a bit of graffiti that says, Nebuchadnezzar was here. How many of you have seen graffiti like that? Ian, Nebuchadnezzar was here. But it was real. It was genuine graffiti. Nebuchadnezzar had been there as he marched, and the armies marched down the coast of what is now Syria, Lebanon, Israel, down into Egypt, destroying the nations. And yet, in the midst of all of this, 5 years later, amidst the chaos and the tragedy and the deprivation and the disappointment and the deep, deep longing for home, Ezekiel, the priest, has a revelation of God that transformed his life. Some of us today need to have a revelation of God that will transform our lives. Some of us today have got to get back to Him. Some of us have got to rediscover prayer. Some of us have got to rediscover the power of His Word. Some of us have got to rediscover the power of our relationship with Him, because it seemed that in the life of Ezekiel, for the first time, even as a priest, for the first time, he realized that God was real and that God was a God of glory, and that God wanted to have a relationship with him, and that God came with a promise of hope and restoration and promise. For the first time, he realized that God is not far from any of us. Some of us need to remember that God is not far from us. And in the midst of the difficulties that we go through, we need to rediscover that God is not far from any one of us. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't left you like an orphan. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't given up on you. He's always there. He's never far from you. If you'll search for him, you'll find him. If you trust him and obey him, he will lead you and he'll guide you. But what did the nation do? They continued to follow the religions of their fathers and their forefathers. And in the midst of all of that, God is still promising a time of renewal. Most people didn't accept it. Most people didn't believe it. And so here's Ezekiel, the prophet, pleading with the nation to turn back to God and say, God has allowed you to come into exile so that you could come back into relationship with him. And it was hard to believe when all they could see was death and destruction, and it seemed like God and their circumstances were mocking them. So that's the context of the passage that we just read from Ezekiel chapter 37. I want you to imagine the scene. Here's this priest, prophet, and he says, one day I was just minding my business, waiting for the shops to open, and then suddenly the Spirit came down and plucked me out of where I was and took me to a valley where I saw that there was a valley filled with the dry bones of what was once the powerful army of Judah. These were once soldiers. These were once great men. These were once brave warriors. These were once brave knights in shining armor who marched out with their swords and their shields and their spears and were convinced. They were so fearless, they thought that they could take on any enemy. And Ezekiel says at the beginning of his book, I saw them marching out with such confidence, straight into the jaws of defeat. And there they lay in the desert. How depressing. How depressing. Going through an experience like that, that these dry bones were once, they were once the heroes. They were once brave people. They were once family members. They were once friends. And now their survivors lived in exile in Babylon. Their wealth was gone. Their status was gone. Their relationship with God was gone. Their influence, their prophets, as chosen people, were all gone. David in the Psalms says this. He almost can see it a long way from the event. He said, "But you've tossed us aside in dishonor. Oh God, do you no longer lead out our armies to battle? You make us retreat from our enemies and allow those who hate us to plunder our land." The glory of Israel had gone. The glory of the nation had gone. And the only picture that was left was one of desolation. Now, we can come to church, we can lift up our hands, we can do the Christian thing and still feel desolation deep down inside. I know that because we've all done it. We know how to act, we know how to perform when we come, and yet there are things that are going on in our lives. And here's the nation that they said they believed in God, but their prophets were gone, their philosophies were gone, their reputation was gone, their history was gone. There were no signs of life, No signs of victory except their enemies. No sign of restoration that they were prepared to believe. The only miracle that would enable them to survive and to be renewed would be a miracle from God. But all that Ezekiel saw was a valley filled with dry bones, bleached by the heat of the Middle Eastern sun. I was in Sydney yesterday. It was 44 degrees at the airport. That was hot. But parts of the Middle East get much hotter than that. You can imagine the whole fallen army completely desiccated. And God comes to Ezekiel and he plonks him down on a hill overlooking this valley. And he says, do you think that these bones can live again? As you look around, do you feel sometimes that you are trapped in a valley of dry bones? Once you had great hope. Once you had great expectations. Once you had plans. Once you believed God's promises. Once you were confident, and now it seems there's nothing. And so God says to Ezekiel, do you really believe that these bones can rise again, that they can come back to life again? So Ezekiel looks at God and says, God, you've got to be kidding. He doesn't really. That's what I would say. I'd say, God, you've got to be kidding. And so Ezekiel, you know, ever the diplomat, he says, well, God, only you know. And yet there's a sense sometimes in our Christian lives when we're in the midst of despair and disappointment and frustration and feeling let down, or maybe God doesn't seem to be as close as he used to be, or maybe we're going through a dry period in our lives. All that we can say is, God, only you know. I don't pretend to know. It seems impossible. Everything seems dead around me. In the natural, it's completely impossible. Everything else has vanished. Only you know. Because in myself, all I sense is grief and memories and loss and emptiness and silence as a survivor in a distant land. God, surely you're kidding, but maybe you can do it. And God says this. Listen to these words. Despite the circumstances, God looks him in the eye and says, I will put my spirit in you and you will come back to life. That's why I love that song we sang. That's why I wanted us to sing that song this morning. It's your breath in my life. It's your breath in my lungs. It's your life in my life. That's the only hope that I have as a Christian. And when we sing that song, and we raise our hands and we sing it to God, Lord, it's your breath in my lungs. Let's not just make it something we sing because that's the one on the program. God, I really believe that I need your breath. I need your life because without your life, I don't have anything. Ever feel like that? God, without your life, I don't have anything. Why am I saying this? Because I've felt like that at times, of course. But while Ezekiel's shaking his head, wondering, God says, okay, now this is where we work together. I'm not just going to come and perform a miracle. I want you to prophesy to the bones, telling them God will make breath enter you and you will come back to life. I will attach tendons to you, make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. And God says, I'm giving you, Ezekiel, the capacity to prophesy this into those circumstances. And believe it or not, Christian, as children of God, as the people of God, with the Holy Spirit in us, he gives us the capacity and the authority, and believe it or not, the surprising potential to prophesy into our circumstances, to speak into our circumstances, to speak into your circumstances, and with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to say, circumstances, you are terrible. Circumstances, you are depressing. But in the name of Jesus, I am prepared to prophesy that life can come back into these dead circumstances. How many of you believe that? God gives you the right to say that. He gives you the ability to say that. I know that, you know, we're not talking about going back. We can't go back. But we can be enabled by the Spirit of God to take his life into where we're going as we continue our lives as Christians in the midst of the circumstances that we go through. He allows faith to rise in the heart of Ezekiel. He allows faith to rise in each of our hearts today. And there's a strange new dimension that many Christians who have not really experienced, and that's the dimension of being able to speak faith into the circumstances that we go through. Do you believe that? And that's the dimension. Maybe it's been a long time since you've done that. Maybe it's been a long time since you've allowed faith to rise in your heart. Well, let it happen today. Amen. Let the Spirit of God come and renew faith in your heart. Yeah. Let the Spirit of God come and enable you to pray with faith again. Amen. To pray with belief in Him again. To pray in line with His purpose and His plan again. And not just look at the valley of dry bones that surround each of our lives from time to time, but to allow Him to pray through us, because we are powerless to see in our own circumstances unless the Holy Spirit comes in and intervenes. But the Holy Spirit wants to intervene today, and that's what gives us life and strength. And so as Ezekiel does this, we read in the passage, suddenly not only did the bones reconnected and got new flesh, he says, now prophesy that the Spirit would come into them, and he brought them back to life. It's your breath in my lungs. And when I sang that day on the mountaintop in Bolivia, up in Potosi, where there was no oxygen, I thought, God, I've never prayed this with such intensity. I've never prayed this with such genuineness. God, I need your breath in my lungs, because in the natural it's very, very difficult. And God knows that you have needs like that. God knows that you have circumstances like that that can only be filled once He comes and intervenes. God knows that you're limited. God knows that you run out of energy. God knows that sometimes you seem to run out of faith. God knows that sometimes you look at the circumstances and say, God, at this, I haven't got anything else to give. He knows that. We can't breathe without His life. You can't live without Him coming into each one of us. And sometimes it takes, like Ezekiel, sometimes it takes a revelation to realize that. Sometimes it takes God intervening in our lives and speaking to us when we're least expecting it. We can hear a voice behind us, and the Spirit of God is saying something to us, and He reminds us that He's the one who can give us hope. Regardless of this, our circumstances can be completely turned around and twisted inside out and back to front and have no life, but He can restore. He can restore. He can restore hope in your life. He can restore hope. Maybe you're finishing at the end of this year and saying, thank God, it's the end of... Who remembers we said, thank God, it's the end of 2019? Oh, I remember. Yeah. Thank God, 2019's over. COVID's over. And on the 1st of January, it was still with us. maybe some of you still feel like that. You know, we come to the end of another year and you say, well, yep, that's it. But I still feel some sense of difficulty and worry about tomorrow, and I need restoration in my life. We all feel like that from time to time. We all feel dry. We all feel empty. We all feel lacking from time to time. Sometimes we feel bitter. Sometimes we feel hopeless. Sometimes we feel helpless. Sometimes we experience sorrow, and that's natural. And you can say, well, there's a good reason I feel like this. Yes, there's a good reason. There's a very good reason that we feel like this, because we're human. Even Jesus felt like that. He said in Hebrews, says, you know, that he was tempted and tested in every area that we're tested in. He knows what it's like. God knows what it's like. But He says, but I can restore you. And maybe you're coming to the end of this year and you say, well, I hope the new year is better. And you started 2023 with lots of resolutions and hopes and statements of optimism and great dreams and sincere prayers, and nothing happened. And now on the 10th of December, you're writing another list and you're getting ready to disappoint yourself all over again, because you think 2024 is going to be very different. You know, we set ourselves up for disappointment. But in the midst of all of that, if we will listen to the Spirit of God, God says, these bones can rise again. We may have felt the disappointment. We may have felt the disillusion of things that have happened, and that's natural. But we can't do it without God's intervention. I want the Holy Spirit to be moving in my life. Yeah. I want the Holy Spirit to be moving in my church. Yeah. I want the Holy Spirit to be moving in each and every one of our connect groups. Mm-hmm. I want the Holy Spirit to be moving in the kids' church. Yeah. I love our kids' ministry. Yeah. My father was my Sunday school teacher. And I'm a Christian today because my father was my Sunday school teacher and God spoke through him. I'm a Christian today because my father then became my youth leader. Thank God for the youth leaders in this church. I love this church. I love this church, and this is home. This is your home. Welcome home. I love this church because we discover that here God is going to continue to do His work. Whether it's the children or the young people or the old people or those, all of us in the middle, if you're here, God can fill you. If you're here, God can speak to you. If you're here, then God can do something in your life that you're not expecting. If God wants you and I today to be spirit baptized, spirit filled, spirit enabled, spirit led, spirit energized, on mission together, it's going to take a miracle. And it's going to take you and I cooperating with the Holy Spirit. And what Ezekiel discovered was that everything that God promised, He did. Because He is the giver of life. He's the only giver of life. And you can wander up and down that valley of dry bones and say, isn't it terrible? Isn't it sad? And yes, it is in every way. But when the Spirit of God comes in, suddenly it's transformed to an army that's standing on its feet and re-energized all over again. I know I said re again and I meant it. Doubly so. Re-energized all over again. And when we read that passage and we look at God's work in our lives, I want to tell you, it gives me a glimmer of hope. And I wanted to give you a glimmer of hope. Let me ask you, what are the dry bones in your life? What are the things that maybe even your husband or your wife or your friends don't know about? What are the dry bones in your life? If Jesus Christ is the giver of life, He is able to bring new life out of death. He is able to bring a new, powerful, anointed, spirit-led, spirit-energized army of the people of God to stand on their feet and rise up again and do the work of God, not by their own power, but by the Spirit of the living God at work in their lives. Because if He doesn't do it, we've got nowhere else to turn. And we're just left with a list of long questions. Can the bones in my life really live again? Can I expect to have hope again? Is there possibly a hope for the future, for our lives, our studies, our careers, our marriages, our families, our plans? Is He really the God of renewal? Oh, yes, He is. He's the God of renewal. And the one who's been with us thus far in the ups and downs, which we all experience because every life in every relationship has its ups and downs, He's still there. And He says, I can take your desiccated dreams, your desiccated hopes and relationships and make them come back to life because He is the giver of life. He's the giver of life. He is the only one who can give us fresh hope. And if your faith has dried up, He can revive you. If your hope has dried up, He can revive you. Not just because I am standing up here saying rah, rah, but because it's a supernatural work of the Spirit of the living God in you. If your hopes have been bleached by the desert sun and the heat and the dryness and the barrenness of life's experiences, and you feel like your life and your plans and your dreams are lying in a desert place, He can still revive you. He can bring you back to a new place. He can bring you back to a new level. He can breathe new life in you. And I want to do like Ezekiel did today. I want to prophesy the life of the Spirit of God in each of your lives so that you will rise up like the people of God with a fresh anointing and a fresh strength and a fresh vision and a fresh determination and a fresh sense of the presence of the living God inspiring and leading and baptizing you and filling you and enabling you to live as men and women of God in an age in which people really need to see that happen all over again, because all they can see are dead, dry bones. Today is a time of refreshing. Today is a time of renewal. We all need renewal. I don't know how long you've been a Christian. I thought with a great shock recently. I came down to Canberra when I was 18, got involved in church life straight away. And I'm going to show my age. I realized recently I've been involved in serving the Lord in Christian ministry for 50 years this year. That's a long time. And if there's one thing I learned in that, is that you can't go on what happened last year. You can't go on what happened in the last state conference. You can't go on what happened with the last great book you read. You can't go on the last great prayer meeting you had. Every day is an experience to be renewed by the Spirit of God. We all need renewal. We all need to be connecting with the giver of life so that the life that we have in the Spirit is the life that we receive today. Today, if you'll hear His voice, He wants to speak to you. Today, if you'll open your heart, He wants to fill you. Today, if you're feeling bleached, He wants to renew you. Today, if you're feeling dry, He wants to rain upon you and give you life and future and hope and bring fruit in your life that isn't fruit of 50 years ago, but fruit of today, living in relationship with Him. And the thing that struck me when I think about Ezekiel and his background and what he went through and what he experienced was Ezekiel had to have a total paradigm shift. What does that mean? That means that his thinking of the world had to change. And many of us today need to have a paradigm shift. We need to have the same sense of renewal that Ezekiel had. We go into the desert, we see the dry bones, we see the circumstances, we see the impossibility, we see the realities that people want to throw at us. But in the midst of all of that, we can still hear the voice of God saying, I want to come and prophesy life into you. Will you believe that? Will you receive that? How many of you today need to say, God, today I want a paradigm shift. Today, I want to have a new focus. Today, I want to have a new relationship with you. Lord, today, I'm not going to go home saying, well, there we go. You know, I still feel dry. I still feel empty. I still feel like there's nothing. Today, I want to experience a fresh touch of the living God. Let's stand on our feet. That's a good place to stand. Stand on your feet. Ezekiel said, the Spirit came and stood me on my feet. Let's close our eyes. In a minute, we're just going to open up the altar just for a few minutes. We're going to sing that song again. Just before we finish, let's not rush. I know we've got a zillion things to do, like finishing dressing the Christmas tree and wrapping the presents. But let's just take a few minutes to say, God, I come to you today and I open up my heart and my life to you. I want you to breathe new life into my life. I want you to breathe new life into my Christian life. I want you to breathe new life into my witness as a Christian, as a husband, as a wife, as a young person. If that's you, as we're singing, I just want you to come down. Somebody will pray for you very briefly and then we can all go our way. But let's make it a time of prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do now. You come as we're waiting.